Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would, please. I want to talk to you about something here tonight that is going to sound kind of strange, but I mean it to sound kind of strange to get you to think, because I don't think people understand this, honestly. I know Christians don't. I know that any of us can be deceived by this. I have personally been deceived by this, so that's why I can tell you that I know, and I've repented of that in different areas or different times of my life. And I want to help you with this. I want to help you not to be deceived by this. Okay? And so you examine yourself to see if you have been. But the title of this message is called Christian Bitterness. See, that sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? Is that even possible? Oh, yes. Yes, it's possible. It's possible for Christians to get bitter. And, you know, so are we got everything recorded and everything's fine back there? Okay. You know, so you think to yourself, is that how could that be possible? You know, how could a Christian be bitter? Well, I'm going to prove to you from the scriptures that they can be. They can be bitter, and that's not good. We don't want to be bitter. We don't ever want to be bitter, and that's why Paul warns us against that, and we're warned in the scriptures about that. But I guess I want to kind of talk to you practically tonight, because the Lord kind of revealed some things to me here this week about myself. And you know, that's not very comfortable sometimes. When you examine yourself in the light of scripture, when you see something, or when you're showed something, it's like, whoa, that's true. I don't want to really admit that, but that's true. And I don't like that, but it's true. You know, so anyway, those are, and I think that if we're going to be serious, if we're going to live for Christ, if we are going to be the Christians that change this world, that have an impact on this world, then we have to be consistent. And we have to understand that we will lose the power of God by being bitter, by having bitter feelings towards somebody or someone. And I guess I want to kind of look at what that is and kind of show you what that is. And you can examine for yourself and say, well, is that me or have I had that? And I think it's important. So let's pray and then we'll get right into it. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now. Help us, Lord. We need you. I pray, Father, that you'd reveal this unto us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness. Boy, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Well, if we're to let it, that means that it's possible that we have it. Does that make sense? If we are to let it not, we're not to let it, we're letting put it away. If we are told to put it away, then it's quite possible that we have it, because we are commanded to put it away. So if we're commanded to put it away, then that means that it's possible that you and I could be holding bitterness or bitter feelings. And there's different levels of that, and I want to help you with that tonight, I think, and help you to understand that doesn't mean that you're complete. I've met people that are completely full of bitterness, the gall of bitterness, the bond of iniquity. We know they're lost. They're not saved. I'm not talking about that. It could be talking about that, but usually for a saved person, you can tell that, whoa, that person is bitter completely. That means that, you know, there's something wrong. But you can have bitter feelings towards somebody or towards a situation, something that happened, and bitterness can be there, and it needs to be dealt with the proper way. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. That's a tough one, isn't it? Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What does that mean, that word bitter or bitterness? In a figurative sense, extreme enmity, grudge, hatred, or rather an excessive degree of implacableness of passions and emotions as the bitterness of anger. So like a grudge, holding a grudge against somebody, not willing to let something go. Sometimes we're deceived and we don't even understand that we've done that. I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show you how deceptive our own hearts can be and how they can deceive us. And I'm going to show you how not to follow your emotions like that, because if you do, then you will get that bitterness inside of your heart. Or it's maybe already there. ah, that's uncomfortable, isn't it? I don't want to think about that. I didn't want to. But it was showed to me very plainly in a certain matter that I had it. And I didn't like it. But I had to get it right with God. Because I'm not a fake. If I see my sin the way it is, if it's there, if it's ever before me, I need to repent of it. I got to get it right. Because I don't want to live like that. And I don't want to hate anybody. And it's so easy. Because if you're not loving somebody, what are you doing? Right? Come on. If you're not loving them, what are you doing? We never like to think of ourselves that way. We never like to think that's even possible, right? But if we're not loving, what are we doing? Right? One of the things that may surprise you about talking about bitterness is that Christians can be bitter. That doesn't mean they're permitted by God to be bitter. I'm not saying that, okay? They're not. We're never permitted by God to be bitter. But you know what? We can be, we have the ability, even as a child of God, to be bitter. And we also have the ability to deceive our own selves. Whew. Yeah. It's not just lost people that can be bitter. The thing that determines the difference between the lost and the saved is how the Christian deals with his bitterness when he is confronted with it. When he is confronted with any sin, how do you deal with it? That's the question. When he realizes he is guilty before God, does he or she repent and get it right? As soon as they realize it? This is true about any of the sins of this life that are those natural sins that any man is capable of. I don't believe those sins that are against natural affection the saved can indulge in. I don't believe that's normal by any means. But we clearly see what Paul was saying here. Let all bitterness and wrath and malice and clamor and anger be put away from among you. So if he's saying that, it means that we're capable of it. And it's so subtle, so very subtle. Extremely subtle. But bitterness is a mis... Listen, I want to teach you something. Hold on. Bitterness is a misuse of emotions. Do you understand? It's misusing my emotions. It's not wrong to have emotions. We should have them. But bitterness is misusing my emotions. It then allows me to be led by my emotions. Does anybody know what that means? If I'm led by my emotions, what am I being led by? My heart. Do you understand that? So where do you get that from? Because your heart is the seat of all affections and emotions. Right? That's the seat of affections and emotions. So if I am allowing my emotions, if I'm misusing my emotions, if I am allowing my emotions to carry me away, then I'm actually in a certain area following my heart. Maybe not in all areas of my life, right? No, but in that particular instance, I've been deceived into allowing myself to follow my heart. Because I'm thinking emotionally now if I'm bitter, and I'm not thinking rationally. I'm not thinking biblically. I'm not thinking with facts in mind. But I'm thinking with my emotions. And that's why it becomes irrational. And passions rage and things happen. Because I'm thinking with emotions. I'm being led by them. I'm being controlled by my heart. Is this too deep? Get a little hot? Little bit, just a little bit, right? It comes many ways, though, bitterness, and it can disguise itself in thousands of different ways. The depths of deceit in a man's heart is really hard to find out. That's why the Bible's very clear in Jeremiah 17, verse number 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But what does the Bible say? I, the Lord, search the heart. Why? Because if you examine your own heart, you and I can be deceived by our own heart. We can be deceived into thinking that our bitterness is our righteous indignation and our righteousness to be that way. We are righteous to do this. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God says, I search the heart. Why? Because you can't search your own heart effectively enough. That's why you cry out, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Why God? Why not you? Because you and I will make excuses for our hearts. You and I will make excuses for being bitter. We'll make excuses for being that way. Right? It says, who can know it? You and I can't know our own hearts. They deceive us because the heart is the seat of all emotion and affections. So when that gets deceived, when emotions rule us, our own hearts, we can fall into bitterness. Just like that. That's why the Word of God must be used. The sword must be used. And it will show us how to properly discern the things based off the Scriptures. Even the best Christians can be led by their own heart or emotions. I can tell you in my life, that as a pastor, the times that I've been hurt the most by people is because I was led by my emotions and not by facts. Because had I looked at the facts, they never would have been able to do what they did to me. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4, please. That's what God uses on the heart. This is what God uses, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. This is what God uses to examine the heart. For the word of God is quick. That means it's alive, right? And powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And of the joints and marrow. And is a what? A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the thoughts of your heart and the intentions of your heart, you are not a good judge of that. When you try to judge that based on your own understanding, guess what happens? You follow your heart and you get deceived by your heart and you can become bitter by that heart. But when the Word of God examines my heart, I can't get away with it. Can I? Whew. It's kind of uncomfortable, isn't it? I don't get to be my own judge because I'm very biased. Now, I'm just standing up here with a microphone, but if you had one in your face, you'd have to be pretty honest and say the same thing. You're not allowed to be your own judge because you're a very biased judge on yourself. You're not so towards others, but to yourself, you'll give self always the benefit of the doubt. The Word of God, it pierces us through and shows us who we really are. Penetrating the heart more than this does the body, piercing quite through and laying open the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, the inmost recesses of the mind, which the apostle beautifully and strongly expresses by this heap of figurative words. He gets right into the mind, the recesses of the mind, and is a discerner not only of the thoughts but also of its intentions. is a critic. That word of God is a critic of the propensities and suggestions of the heart. How many have felt this property of God's word where it has been faithfully preached? How often has it happened that a man has seen the whole of his own character and some of the most private transactions of his life held up, as it were, to public view by the preacher, and yet the parties absolutely unknown to each other? Some thus exhibited have even supposed that their neighbors must have privately informed the preacher of their character and conduct. But it was the word of God which, by the direction of the divine spirit, thus searched them out, was a critical examiner of the propensities and suggestions of their hearts, and had pursued them through all their public haunts and private ways. Every genuine preacher of the gospel has witnessed such effects as these under his ministry in repeated instances. I've had some people say, "Oh, I know you're preaching that for me. How did you know that?" Or one guy told me, he said, "Oh, how did you know that? I mean, how do you know what I'm talking about in my house?" I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about in your house. God does. It's not my fault you were bad mouthing and God got your number. Don't blame me." The idea is that of a piercing or penetrating, and the meaning here is that the word of God reaches the heart, the very center of action, and lays open the motives and feelings of the man. It was common among the ancients to have a sword with two edges. The Roman sword was commonly made in this manner. Two edges made it more easy to penetrate as well as to cut with every way. That's what it does. That's what the word of God does. That's how, when it shows you, you know what? Your bitterness, your anger, it shows you. It's a discerner, a curious critic, judging exactly and telling tales of the hearers, disclosing the words that they speak in their very bedchambers. The word of God lays us open and shows us. And one thing it will show us is if we are bitter. For bitterness is emotions that are not in check with the Spirit of God, but is unbridled passion that leads us to follow our hearts and not the Word of God. Not facts, but feelings is what we end up following. Bitterness can be mixed with many things, even good things. But it taints those things and makes the pool of life very bitter to drink from. Bible says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do." That's the thing about the Bible. God's word cuts. You don't get to get away with your sin. So the next thing let me say is Christians can be bitter, and it is a sin. One thing that we have to realize is that in my flesh dwells no good thing. We must live our lives constantly judging ourselves by the sword of the Lord, making sure our actions are not tainted by bitterness or the flesh, walking after our own lust or being deceived by our own emotions, or the center of our emotions, which is our hearts. It's how quickly we can follow our hearts when we get hurt. It's so easy to follow your heart. It's easy for that deceitful thing called the heart to fool us into believing that by following our emotions in a good cause, that we could never be carried away or taken by them. Because our cause is noble or right, and it's paved with good intentions. That's how deceitful it is. But many times it's the case that if we do not weigh our motives and thoughts by the word of God, we will fall into the trap of following our own hearts. That doesn't mean that in the whole of our life that we're following our own hearts. It doesn't mean every area of our life we have. It just means that sometimes when we're hurt, when something happens, we get bitter. And then we're following our hearts and we're not following the Bible. We're not following facts. We're not being rational. It just means that we're following our own hearts in one area, or maybe in a few areas that we've been blinded to. Oh, you could be blinded by your own heart very easy. Blindsided, more like it. We may be deceived into doing so, yet we are guilty nonetheless. Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry. You can go and turn there. Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. As soon as anger rests in the bosom of fools, as soon as that anger rests in your bosom, guess what? You're giving place to the devil. I'm telling you, it can be very subtle. Very subtle. And you not know it. Yep. And you not understand it even. Be angry and sin not. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. What is that bitterness? Let me tell you, I'll give you another example of that. It is the settled disposition of one who is resentful. It means I strongly resent somebody. Let all bitterness, these words are a deortation from several vices good men are liable to, by which the Spirit of God is grieved. Bitterness sometimes designs the corruption of nature, which is the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity for the natural man, and sometimes actual sins and transgressions, even those of God's own people, which are evil and bitter things. And sometimes there are other roots of bitterness, and sometimes sinful words spoken by the saints, one against another. And here perhaps it signifies the first offense taken in mind against any person upon any account, which should at once be put away and not encouraged. Bitterness, both of spirit and of speech, is opposed to being kind. Bitterness is the opposite of being kind, being tender-hearted. To be bitter is to not be tender-hearted. It's to be led by our emotions and to be angry with somebody and to hold it against them. In a figurative sense, extreme enmity, grudge, hatred, or rather an excessive degree of passions and emotions as the bitterness of anger. What else is bitterness? The height of settled anger. Opposite to kindness. The height of settled anger. It settles, it rests in the bosom. It stays there and it makes the whole man bitter. And I'm telling you, quit lying to yourself if you think you could actually hide that from other people. The way you treat people and you're vitriol and angry towards them and you see it spout out of you and you see it burst out of you, a root of bitterness, that's not earnestly contending for the faith, that's bitterness. When you answer a man with emotions and you can't answer him with truth, it's because you're bitter. Don't lie to yourself. You're deceiving your own self. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You're deceiving yourself if you think that if the bulk of your responses to others come out as a bitter, angry response towards them, it's because you're bitter. It's not because of anything else. It's not because of anything else but bitterness. That's why you respond that way. You're responding that way because you're thinking with your emotions. You are answering a matter with your heart and not with the Word of God. And that's why it comes out like that. That's your response. When emotions are your first response to something, it's because you're bitter. Or you're angry, one of the two. You got an angry spirit. Let all bitterness be put away. Do not passionately resent every trifle, nor bitterly envy with all the licentiousness and keenness against those who have greatly injured you. For these things are most contrary to the nature of God, the genius of Christianity, and the character of its great founder. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. Bitterness, that is a secret grudge and smothered displeasure against our brother. It's holding a secret grudge or smothered displeasure with them. Bitterness may imply a secret lurking displeasure at another, or rather a confirmed and permanent one. Bitterness is a figurative term denoting that fretted and irritable state of mind that keeps a man in perpetual animosity, that inclines him to harsh and uncharitable opinions of men and things, that makes him sour, crabbed, and repulsive in his general demeanor, that brings a scowl over his face and infuses venom into the words of his tongue. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. These are intimately related evils. Bitterness, a word transferred from a sphere of sensations to that of the mind. It means sharp as an arrow, then pungent to the taste, disagreeable, and then venomous. The poisonous water given to the woman suspected of adultery, it was bitter, bitter water. The word bitterness, therefore, in its figurative sense means what is corroding, as grief or anything which acts on the mind as poison does on the body, or on the minds of others as venom does on their bodies. The venom of the serpent lies harmless in his fang, but all evil feelings are poison to the subject of them as well as venom to their object. The command, therefore, to lay aside all bitterness is a command to lay aside everything which corrodes our minds, our own minds, or wounds the feelings of others. Under this head are the particulars which follow. Wrath means the mind itself as the seat of passions and desires, then the mind in commotion of passion constantly. Paul is warning us in Ephesians. He is warning them as a church that saved people need to let go of any bitterness that they have. Let go of bitter thoughts and bitterness in your heart towards someone, because it will defile many. Hebrews 12, turn there, Hebrews 12, verse number 14. He says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It says, looking diligently. Better be looking. Better be examining. Making sure you're not bitter over some hurt, past hurt, something that happened to you. Looking diligently, lest any man fail, the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness will trouble the soul. It will trouble and destroy men and everyone around you. And we don't realize how easy it is to become bitter about something or someone, and how it can affect everything. There's a difference in a man that has a bitter spirit towards everyone and everything. That's a lost man. And someone who has some bitterness towards a person or instances of their life. When a man is ate up with bitterness, it shows everywhere in his life. But a Christian man needs to guard himself against having bitterness towards others. It's an overreaction and emphasis on emotions and not on the truth. And that is why he cannot rashly explain himself or rashly do it, because he has bitterness in his heart. He has some anger. Maybe he's been hurt by that person. So anger can be a defense mechanism to lash out, to defend themselves against somebody that they've been hurt by. Or maybe they're just being a selfish person and they want everything their way. So they get bitter because they can't have it their way. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now listen, I can say this to you. The Lord showed me very plainly that I had a grudge or a contempt or an anger towards someone from my past. I didn't even realize it. I thought it was something. Let me tell you how I was deceived, and I was truly deceived by it. I believe that I was protecting myself and others from someone's sin, which I was. So there's the noble cause, right? But what happens when the emotions are attached to it and they become emotions of anger? What would happen? I became bitter towards that person. I became bitter towards them. And I didn't even realize it. I questioned. So once in a while I would question. I was like, okay, well, let me tell you how it happened with me. Because I equated having compassion for someone as trusting them. Because when you have been manipulated in your life, that's what you're trained to do. So you have compassion, then you must trust people. No. You're to have compassion on people, but you're to verify. You're to trust is earned. And trust is built. But what I did was, well, I have compassion on them. That means I trust them. And then you get burned every time. It's like, wait, and why is this happening? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you attached those two things together and thought those were the same. Just because you had compassion for someone means that you ought to trust them. So what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. Here's an example of that. I have wicked family members. I have wicked relatives. I cannot fellowship with those wicked relatives. But if those wicked relatives need the truth, and because of past hurts or anger or bitterness, I don't want to give them the truth. My automatic response is not to give them the truth. Then what does that mean? It means I'm bitter. Yes, I'm right to separate from them and not allow them to defile me or my family or anybody else. But I'm wrong to have anger towards them and for that to be the first emotion that comes or the first thing that comes up with that. What does that mean? Means I'm bitter. Because I'm not thinking rationally any longer. And I'm not having what? I'm not having compassion on them. And then if you understand that compassion doesn't mean that I trust that person, it just means that I have a duty before God to be compassionate towards those that are lost and dying and dead in their sins, no matter how wicked they are. I have a duty to be compassionate. And what is that compassion? To tell them the truth. In love. I have a duty before God. Right? But when emotions and anger get in there and bitterness gets in there, guess what I won't do? I don't want to talk to that. I don't want to do that. Why? Because I don't want to get hurt again. What am I doing? I'm being irrational. I'm thinking with my emotions. And obviously because I've been hurt, I'm thinking with bitterness. I have bitterness in my heart. The Lord showed me that. And I had to get that right. Amen. I had to get that right with God. And understand that's what that was and deal with it properly. I didn't do it on purpose. It wasn't something I set out to do. But we can be deceived by our own hearts. And I was. See how easy that deceit can be? Do you see how easy it can be? But I was right to separate from them. Yes, you were. But I was wrong to have anger and bitterness over past hurts. And you got to let that go. Because you can't have compassion on people if you're bitter at them. You won't be compassionate towards them. Because you're bitter. I didn't know that it was bitterness until I was cornered by the Lord and showed that that's what it was. And then I couldn't get out of it. I didn't want to accept it at first because I couldn't believe that that'd be possible. A Christian having bitterness? How is that? Is that even possible? Yeah, it is. That's why Paul said, let it be put away from you. Because it's possible. But a Christian has to guard himself against having that bitterness towards others. That grudge, that anger, that type of resentment. Bitterness is a lack of compassion for those who have wronged us or for those who have hurt us. And so we'd rather see them go to hell than help them. Right? We don't think that in our mind, though. Why? Because the Spirit speaks to us and says, no, that's not right. But our flesh says, yeah, but they did this. But the Spirit of God tells us, no, I can't accept that. Right? I can't be that way. I'm not allowed to be that way, so what are you forced to do? Repent. Because you're saved, and you've got to get it right once God shows it to you. Because it's like, you know what? No, I've allowed my emotions to get the best of me. And that's because we are not acting on facts. We are acting on emotions. What do you expect from lost people? They're wicked as hell. What do you expect from them? That doesn't mean you have to trust them. It means that you have to have compassion for them. Right? Or for those that are in error. That we have compassion for them. We still call them to repentance. We still warn them. And we still cannot have them in our company. But we can't hate them. We can't do that. It's important, those that left, we can't hate them. We have to have compassion on them. That doesn't mean we trust them and open the floodgates back in and let them all come in and do the damage they did. That doesn't mean that. Because that's not rational. That's not biblical. But what it means is that we don't have any animosity towards them. We don't want anything bad to happen to them. We want them to repent. You know, we want them to get right with God. Now, they might have to get right with God somewhere else because they've already done their damage here. You know, but we still want them to. You know. It's hard to differentiate that. Well, that means you just bring them back in and everything's all good and you just forgive them and everything's... No. Because that would be ignoring the facts. When you have somebody that says sorry, but they're a habitual liar, oh, you don't ignore the facts. That's stupid. That's just dumb. Right? That's asking to be manipulated again. We're not talking about doing that. What we're talking about is saying, you know what, Lord, I forgive them. It's over. They're gone. That's why, you know what, we're not going to talk about those people anymore. They're gone. They went out from us because they were not of us. Now they're gone. No need to talk about them anymore. Time for a new year. Time to move on. That's what it is. That's what God's done for us. So we're done with that. No reason to continue it on. Just let it go and pray to get right with God someday. But bitterness is that lack of compassion for those that have wronged us. For me, it was masks and protection for myself or for loved ones. I equated that having compassion on someone was the same as trusting them. And there are people that have hurt us greatly but we still owe the truth to them. We owe it to God to give them the truth. Right? But the devil wants us to be bitter against them so we won't give them the truth, right? Once I've given them the truth, if I have to separate from them and keep them from close company with me, then I have to, because I cannot trust them. But that's not the same as being without compassion for them and not caring for them if they go to hell or not. Right? That's bitterness towards that person. It's a lack of love. But we can be deceived. Not that we want them to go to hell because we're saved, but when we're led by our emotions, we're not thinking in the Spirit. So what do? We think in the flesh, like, well, I've already done it. I've already given them all the information. I've already done everything. I'm not going to do it again. I'm just done with it. I'm not going to do anything anymore with it. I'm just done with it. Is that your emotions talking? Careful. Your bitterness is showing. Now, there are certain people we may have to cut off because they don't stop their games. They won't stop manipulating you. They won't stop doing that. So you have to keep them at a distance. There's nothing wrong with that. That's being wise. But when the opportunity arises, if I can help them some way, if I can show them the truth some way, I can do that with keeping them far enough away from me. Right? Do you see how that works? It's a very thin line, isn't it? And we cross over that line and we get into bitterness if we're not careful. Because we cross over that line of protection into just being bitter towards them. And it's very subtle. Very subtle. Number, whatever number it is, I don't know which one, but emotional overload leads to bitterness. When we try to let our emotions lead us, we lose every time. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, and the end thereof is the way of death. Well, it seemed like a good idea. It seemed it, but it's not biblically right. It seemed right. Well, it seems like a good idea at the time. How many times have you said that before? Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Yeah. Your child comes up to you, well, Dad, I thought it was a good idea. Well, son, you thought wrong. There is a way that seemeth right to a man. You know, that seemed like it was right. Right? It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. What does that mean? It means I protect my heart, I guard my heart, I'm careful that I'm not led by my heart. Or my emotions. Listen very closely. I can have emotions concerning the truth, but truth is not based on my emotions. Let me help you again with that. I can have emotions concerning the truth, but truth is not based on my emotions. That's the key. When I try to let my emotions lead me to the truth, I'm gonna get in trouble. Every time. Because I'm not basing it off the Word of God. I'm not basing it off a fact. I'm basing it off how I feel. It's like when a lot of people say they don't feel saved. Well, you ain't saved by your feelings. Right? Your emotions don't really have a whole lot to do with that. Your emotions may respond to the truth, and that's a good thing when they respond right. But they do not determine the truth. Did you catch that? I don't know if you're listening. I hope you're listening. I hope you, some of you are tired, and you're not any more tired than I am, but listen to me very closely. I want to make sure you're getting this, because I'm telling you, if you want to get an error, you're going to stumble over your own feet and follow your emotions over a cliff somewhere. And then you're going to stand around looking and wonder, what in the world just happened? I'll tell you what happened. You didn't listen. That's what happened. I can't believe how much energy I have right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's right. Hurt feelings are not wrong, but harboring hurt feelings, that's wrong. Holding on to them. Will you hurt me? Well, go tell them. You know, the one thing that I didn't do in all of it, I figured it out with somebody I could do that with. I didn't go tell them. I never sat them down and rebuked them and told them they were wrong. Now, some people don't give you an opportunity to do that. We've seen that, haven't we? They say everything they want to say, and then they're gone. And then it's like, well, have a private meeting with me. Oh, no. Right? Not in that case. Not like that. Not when it comes to church matters. But in people in your personal life, when you deal with them, if you had hurt feelings, did you go tell them? Did you sit down with them and rebuke them, take the word of God and show them? You know what happens to those feelings when you do that? A lot of times they go away. Because even if that person doesn't get right, you got it off your chest and was able to tell them, listen, brother or sister, listen, you wronged me. You were wrong for what you did. I'm going to show you from the Bible where you're wrong. You need to repent of it. But if you don't, I still love you, but you're wrong. And I mean, I can't fellowship with you. Do you see the difference? I didn't go off and harbor those feelings in my heart for year after year after year after year till it churns your guts and destroys you. That's bitterness. Is this too real tonight? Was you looking for a sermon on homosexuality or something to make you feel a little bit better or something? We have to let it go. When somebody hurts you, you got to let it go. You have to go to Christ and say, Lord, I'm laying this at the foot of the cross, and as best as I can, I forgive them. Now, they will not, the fullness of that forgiveness from their end will not be restored until they get it right. But as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as lieth within you. It doesn't say as much as lieth within them. It says as much as lieth within you. Live peaceably with all men. See the difference? It means I don't get to say, well, they didn't ask for forgiveness, so I could be angry and bitter at them and hate them. No, you can't. That's not what that teaching's about when it talks about forgiving as Christ forgave you. No, you don't get to hold bitter feelings towards that person. You need to go and say, Lord, it's in your hands. I forgive them. I don't want no bad feelings towards them. For Christ's sake. But I will not restore fellowship with that person until they get it right. That's not bad. That's not being bitter. That's being biblical. But if I harbor those ill feelings in my heart, those angry thoughts, those that bitterness in my heart, and I don't deal with that person, then I'm being bitter. And I'm acting on my emotions. And I'm not acting out of fact. And I'm following my heart. And my heart is deceiving me. And I am bitter. And I don't even realize it. Because I left the rational train a long time ago and stepped off of it to follow my heart, which is a dumb thing to do. Make sense? Being tender-hearted means that I'm ready to forgive. That's how we're supposed to be, ready to forgive. I'm tender. My heart's not getting hardened. It's staying tender. Even though somebody hurts, we say, Lord, they wronged me, but I wronged you. So thank you for your forgiveness. And I'm going to let it go. I'm going to put it at the feet of the cross. I'm going to forgive them, and I'm going to move on. I can't have fellowship with them. I can't do that. They don't want to get right. But you know what? I don't have to hold on to anything. I can let it go. I can let it go and give it to you. And you'll take it. And you can make bitter water sweet. And you just take it from me, Lord, and make it sweet. I don't want to hate. I don't want to have bitter anger in my heart. I don't want to feel that way towards anybody. It's wrong. It's a sin. I can't do that. Again, that doesn't mean that we're going to automatically trust that person or let them hurt us again like that. We don't have to do that. That would be foolish. But we do love them enough to tell them the truth and to rebuke them for their evil and their sin. The Bible says not to suffer sin upon thy neighbor, but thou shalt in any wise rebuke him. So when you're just harboring that in your heart and you never take it to that person, what are you doing? You're suffering sin upon them. You're hating them. Man, we don't realize that because we don't want to think of, man, how can I mean, I'm a Christian. I've been born again. How can I hate somebody? That doesn't make any sense. Well, when God reveals it to you, don't try to make sense of it. Just repent of it. I tried to do that for a little while when that came up to me. When I saw this, I was like, well, I'm trying to think. I'm like, what in the world? Like, how could I do this then? You know, I'm a Christian, and how could I do this? How could I? Well, start examining it. It's like, you know what? It really doesn't matter how I did it. It only and I did walk myself through it and tried to figure out how it happened and what I did and how I allowed that to happen. But how I allowed it to happen is I allowed my hurt to lead me. That's how. If you allow your hurt and your wounded spirit or your hurts to lead you, then guess what you'll do? You'll get in trouble. Sorrow can turn to bitterness very easily. The chastening of the Lord can. Ruth chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? She said God dealt very bitterly with her. Well, she was in disobedience, and she got chastened. She lost everything, because she thought going after the bread in Moab was going to be better than staying where she was at and trusting the Lord. And it wasn't, because she lost everything. But God still had mercy on her, and he still loved her. And he still took care of her. Okay, here's another one. He says, is there such a Christian bitterness? I don't know about that. Well, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. There you go. Does anybody want to think that he's not talking to the saints at Colossae there? That he's not talking to them? Or that he's not talking to Christian people, saved people? Yeah, exactly. I think he's talking to saved people there, isn't he? The New Testament was written to who? Us, saved people, right? Amen. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. He's talking to saved people. Don't let yourself get bitter. Love is the opposite of bitterness. Why? Because bitterness is hatred. Right? And then we see in James 3, verse 11 through 12, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. What does that mean? No man can serve two masters. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Sometimes you see some things, you know what? And you may not have seen it. That was the case with me. I prayed about it before, thought about it. But when it was confronted right to me, I had to say, you know what? That's right, Lord. I've been bitter. And I got to get it right. Because I don't want that in my life. I don't want to have those feelings towards anybody like that. I don't want to live my life like that. It's not a good testimony. And it's wrong. It's wrong because you're not having compassion and love for somebody for whom Christ died. Bitterness can come from legitimate hurts that are not dealt with biblically, so we have to deal with issues the right way. When we don't deal with our emotions in a proper sense, if we don't place our emotions in subjection to the Word of God, then guess what we do? We get led by Him. And we get led right over the cliff. And it won't be long before those emotions turn to bitterness when we are hurt. Very easily. It doesn't take long. And you'll start. My prayer is that you'll go home and you'll think about this and you'll reflect and say, you know what? Is there anybody in my life that's like that that I need to get some things right with? Maybe not with them. Maybe you can't do anything about them because they're not going to understand it or they're not going to get right. But you can go to God and you can say, Lord, I've had some bitter feelings towards this person. Maybe you did try to talk to them. Maybe they wouldn't listen, but maybe you got bitter. You go to the Lord and say, Lord, I was wrong. I need to get it right. It was wrong for me to be that way. That's sin. It's hate. And it's wrong. And I need to repent of it. Amen. That's where the rubber meets the road, Christianity, right there, okay? That's preaching that gets to the heart of the matter and deals with it. That's when you see revival happen. That's when you see hearts stirred. It's when you lay down that bitterness, anger, wrath, and malice. When you lay down those sins that does so easily beset you. When you get your heart right in those areas, then you'll see God's power. I'm going to tell you something. You having a problem in your home? You got bitterness in your heart? You not dealt with it? Guess what that's going to do? It's going to cause a root of bitterness to spring up and defile many. You're not an island unto yourself. It has an impact on everybody. You don't have a right to be bitter against anybody. You don't have that right. If you have it, you better repent of it. You and I have no justification for being bitter when Christ has forgiven us of so much. Right? Did you forget that you were purged from your old sins? Did you forget what you've been forgiven of? Oh, I'm sorry. Are their sins worse than yours? Did you forget you were saved from your wickedness? Did you forget how wicked you were and the hole you got pulled out of? Are you all done giving chances now? Are you justified in that? Are you all done giving the truth to people because they don't want to hear it? Huh? Are you justified in that? Or do you have a bitter heart because they hurt you and you don't want them to hurt you again? And you're dealing out of pure emotions and not out of the facts. 70 times 7, that's right. Yeah, I heard one preacher say it like this, keep your hide tough and your heart tender. And that's what it takes. That's what it takes. Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, it was a simple message. Use it, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.